Now, if you've been with us for any length of time, you will remember that we have been dealing with the Gospel of Luke. Now we are in chapter 11. And I will just ask you to turn to that passage briefly, and then we can get back to Matthew chapter 6. But let's read the first four verses of Luke and chapter 11. Now it came to pass, as he was praying, and the he there is the Lord Jesus, in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now that passage is a passage about what we call the Lord's Prayer. And there are two places where in the New Testament we find the Lord's Prayer. Here in Luke chapter 11 and also in Matthew and chapter 6. Now we've been dealing with Matthew because Matthew has the extended treatment of what we call the Lord's Prayer. That is really the reason why we are going to Matthew chapter 6. And also, we have been dealing with all those petitions that are there in the Lord's Prayer, the six petitions. And the first three tell us about God and his glory. And then the last three tell us about man or ourselves and our needs, both physical as well as spiritual. So far, we have dealt with those three petitions that reference God or are related to God. First one being, hallowed be your name. And we have said that it's the desire of every Christian that God might be acknowledged, might be known as we live in this world. And then secondly, we speak about the kingdom of God, your kingdom come, that God in grace has been working in the world, setting up his kingdom. And a time will come when the fullness of that kingdom will be accomplished. And at that time then, this world as we know it will come to an end. Until then, it is our duty as God's people to pray that God would work in this world, work in our lives, work in every way possible to bring to pass that promised kingdom that God has given to us. And then thirdly, you recall it is the prayer about God's will. And here, as Christian people, we are concerned because we know that we live in a world that has rebelled against God. And therefore, we continue to supplicate, to cry to God, that he who is almighty will work in the hearts of men and women in our own day, in our own generation, that he will transform them, that they might love God and be willing to obey him. We ourselves, as we grow in our knowledge of God and in Christ, will become more and more delighted in obeying God, in living according to God's word. That this is our prayer. God will be working in our own hearts and lives. But then, this morning, we now move to that particular statement, give us this day our daily bread. And it's very interesting here because this is the Lord Jesus instructing his disciples how to pray. And as I have already mentioned to you, we are concerned about God and his glory, but then he also wants us to remember that we should be concerned about our welfare, and our welfare physically as well as spiritually. So this morning, our attention is on those few words. Give us this day our daily bread. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us here how to pray. Because as soon as you read those words, give us this day our daily bread, I am hoping that those words will remind you of some verses in the Old Testament. And perhaps amongst a number of those verses that you might be reminded of, the most likely, I suspect, that you might be reminded of is Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. If you are not there, I will read for you. It says, remove falsehood from me and lies far from me. And here are the words. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ, in essence, is teaching his disciples. And basically here, what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us is that God is concerned about our welfare. He is not indifferent to our physical needs. We have already established the fact that as we begin to pray, the secret of prayer is a recognition, obviously by the work of the Holy Spirit, by God working his grace in our hearts and lives. But there's that recognition that God is our Father. And just as we, who are earthly fathers, are concerned to make provisions for our family, for our children, God, who is our Father, is absolutely concerned about our spiritual welfare. He is also concerned about our physical well-being. And that is why we go to him as our Father and we ask him, give us this day our daily bread. But that also teaches us something that is absolutely important. You see, that petition reminds us that as Christians, we know that although, you know, when we go out looking for food, it's such a simple matter. You know, you just walk into the supermarket, whichever one is your preference, and you buy, I don't know how many carts of food that you buy, and then you go home and you eat. It looks so simple and straightforward. The truth of the matter is that God is the sovereign provider of that food. It might not appear like that to you. In fact, let me go further and say to you, there's not one bite of food that you have put in your mouth since you were born that God did not provide. That everything you have ever eaten, it is because God intends to preserve you, to keep you, so that you will finish the years that he has allotted for you in this world. And so, he not only brought you into being, he has provided the many ways in which you should be sustained physically. So all the food that you have consumed, all the food that you know is in your fridge right now at home, all of that has come from the kind and gracious hand of God. So this petition is reminding us of the fact that we need to know. We need to express our joy, our gratitude to our Heavenly Father because he is the one who provides the food we eat. If God is pleased, you would not be able to find food in the supermarket. If God is pleased, you would not be able to find food in the farm. It is God, in his wise, in his glorious providence, he makes sure that when farmers plant the food, they are going to have a harvest. But when business people set up their supermarkets, they can have all those goods and sell them to you. All of that has come from God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us as his disciples, we need to recognize that. God is not only sovereign over our spiritual lives, he is also sovereign over our physical lives. He is our sole provider. That is why we give thanks to God before we have our meal. It's not a ritual. It's not something we do because our family has been doing this all the time and, you know, we just can't stop. No, we do this because we recognize this food has come from God. God has provided this food for us. God intends to preserve your life for whatever number of years he has allotted for you to be on earth. And he intends for you to be preserved, to be in good health. But also, think about it. If you were hungry, if you would be able to come to church, suppose you had not eaten for 3 days, it would be very difficult for you. You could probably come. It would be difficult for you to concentrate on anything because the way God has designed you, you need to eat in order to be sustained. There is nothing unspiritual about food. It is something that God has ordained. That's how you and I are going to be sustained. And God intends for us to be sustained. That's why he provides the food. If you will turn with me in, we are in Matthew chapter 6, we just read those verses. If you go further in Matthew chapter 6 and come to verse 25, we find the Lord Jesus Christ encouraging his disciples and warning them about worry and anxiety. And what is it that people worry about? He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What exactly does he mean? What you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Those are the things that worry people. And the Lord Jesus Christ is encouraging his disciples that your Father, your Heavenly Father, cares for you. He is concerned about your physical well-being. And you are not going to solve anything by worrying. But you need to trust in God. And then he gives us that wonderful example, which is also found in Psalm 104. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. Okay? They are not like us. We tend to fill our fridges with food. The birds are not like that. They just, you know, go about their daily business. And then in the day they go to look for food. And when they go to look for food, God makes sure the food is right there. That's how the birds survive. It is your Heavenly Father who feeds them, the birds. Are you not of more value than they? He asks. If God is concerned about birds enough to make sure that whenever they go out, they'll find the food, he definitely should be worried about you who are made in the image of God. More than that, you who have come to trust in his Son as Savior and Lord. He is concerned about you. So he says, do not worry about clothing. Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So the Lord Jesus Christ here is encouraging us that God, in his wonderful grace, he loves his children and he cares for them. And he is going to provide for them. And so that when we pray, we pray as those who have a Heavenly Father that cares for us. But not also that although it is true that we can pray the Lord's Prayer, we can learn from it and pray it as individuals, the way the Lord Jesus Christ taught it, he taught it to pray corporately. It's give us, not give me, our daily bread. That is reminding us that we are not just to be concerned about ourselves. We should be concerned about our brothers and sisters, especially if they are lacking food, if they are lacking in the basic necessities of life. We as Christians must be absolutely concerned. You remember what James says? You know, if you're a man or a woman of faith and you see a brother who is in need, they don't need your encouragement at that point. They don't even say, now brother, you know, you need to trust in God. Don't do that. He says, give them the things they need. Then now you can teach them about faith. But you need to give them first. You need to help them. Otherwise you have a phony faith, according to James. And that is why he says here, we are to pray, asking God, give us this day our daily bread. But also, if you think about it, we are asking God to meet our basic needs for survival in this world, in this life. But the Lord Jesus Christ uses that word, our. Give us this day our. Why is he using that word, our daily bread? Well, there are many reasons we can give there, but there's one that's obvious. That God has ordained that we should gain our bread by working. Okay? You're not going to gain your bread just by praying and saying amen. You're going to gain your bread by working. That's how God has ordained. Elsewhere, the apostle says, if you do not want to work, what should you do? Do not also eat. So, after you say amen, I mean, unless you have been, and you know, you are not able by reason of circumstances beyond your control or because of health issues, you must work. And God has ordained that as a means in which we provide for ourselves and our families, and we also have opportunity to give to those who do not have. So once again, give us this day our daily bread is reminding us that we must be up and about to do what God has commanded us to do, which is to work. It's very important for us to work. It's also vital for us as we think about this particular petition that there's a lesson here that we find in the Old Testament. You remember when the children of Israel were on their way from Egypt into Canaan land, that God provided manna for them. And then he said to them that they are to pick only enough for the day. That was God's command. So there were a few who were like us. So they said, no, I don't want to come tomorrow. So I'll pick more than what God has commanded. And what happened? They found that the manna, which was extra, you know, it got the rot, it got the worm in it. So the lesson here is for us to remember we are to live by faith every day. Now, that's very interesting because if you live in the Western world today, you've got so much food in your house, for instance. It's just the way things are now. You know, we are not in the kind of agrarian society that our ancestors lived in. We live in here that, you know, sometimes we have food that we throw away. Isn't it? I mean, if I were to take a real count here and say, this past week, have you thrown food at home? Most likely we'll be saying, yeah, you know, because you've got so much there. But don't forget that God wants us to live by faith every day. And the reason why we have to live by faith is because none of us know what is going to happen tomorrow. Today looks very fine. Doesn't look like we're going to have trouble. But we don't know that, do we? You know, just from nowhere, something can happen, and then you go into your supermarket and the shelves will be bare and empty. That is why we must not become complacent, because there's so much around us. We must always learn to live, to walk by faith every single day. That is God's plan. We don't know the future. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. But we know God. And that's enough. Whatever the possible eventuality that will come tomorrow, God is enough. And we're going to trust in Him. In that passage I was quoting in Matthew, he says, sufficient for the day is the evil. Don't begin to import problems from tomorrow. Because when you go to tomorrow, God's grace will be there to meet whatever the situation you are facing. So you need to learn to trust in God daily. That is the work of a Christian. To walk by faith. To grow in your faith. To trust in God. So that if there is chaos where we live, there is war where we live, because we are trusting in God, He is going to take care of us. We must learn to walk by faith. Part of what it means to learn to walk by faith is to trust that God knows exactly what He is doing. Because there may be times that you have to go home hungry. Not because you have no faith. You remember what happened to Job? It was not because he was not a man of faith that the things that happened, happened. He lost his family. He lost his wealth in one day. So if you learn to walk by faith and to trust in God, then you are happy because you know my Heavenly Father knows what He is doing. Even when you are lacking the essentials of life, He must know what He's doing. Remember, He did not spare His only begotten Son. He gave Him because He knew unless He gives you His Son, you cannot be saved. The best that God can ever give is the gift of His own dear Son. If He could give you His Son, what can He withhold from you? So if you are lacking or you are needy, it is not because God has ceased loving you. Rather, it is because God, in His love, knows what He is doing in your life. And you need to trust Him. You need to look to Him. You need to say like Job,
even though he slay me,
yet I will trust in him. So what can we say in conclusion? First of all, this petition teaches us that the worst thing you can ever do in this world is to be a non-Christian. That's the worst thing that you can ever do. Because it means that every single day of your life on earth, you are biting the finger that feeds you. You are insulting your greatest benefactor, the God who provides the food that gives you strength. And then you use that strength to insult him. That's the worst thing you can ever do. To repay evil for good that you receive every single day of your life. The food that you consume, it is God's gift to you. And perhaps you even eat without giving thanks. It is God who provides that food to you. And I'm saying to you this morning, if you are not a Christian, I could not think of a worse situation you could ever be. Be a recipient of good every single day of your life, and yet keep insulting the God who gives you that food. Think of it yourself. If you were kind to somebody and you were able to give them money and to help them, not once, not twice, many times, and then if one day you discovered that they actually don't like you, they speak ill of you, what are you going to do? I know what you're going to say. That's the last thing you ever get from me. Now imagine if God said that to you. That's the last bite you're going to have. What's going to happen to you? But also, we need to mention in the second place here that in the New Testament, there are no dietary laws that stop us from eating anything that God has provided. In the Old Testament, there were those kosher laws that the Jews had to abide by. In the New Testament, you remember that story of the Apostle Peter, and he saw that sheet from heaven, all kinds of animals in there, and the voice came, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." The Apostle Peter said, "I am a Jew. I can't just eat anything." And God says to him, "What God has made clean, do not call unclean." Now, if you're a vegetarian, I want to encourage you to continue being a vegetarian. But you cannot prove from the Bible that we can't eat meat.
Amen.
Yeah. We can eat meat because the Bible says as long as we give thanks, we can eat meat. So it's up to you what you want to eat from the bounty that God has provided in this world. It's up to you to choose what you want to eat. If you don't want to eat meat, leave it for those of us who want to eat meat. If all you want to eat are vegetables, God bless you. with those vegetables. But the point I'm saying to you is that this is God's gracious provision. And this is why he has filled this earth with so much variety, so that we can all be sustained. You see, there is a curse on the earth, isn't it? And we see this every day, where you find people have more than they require. And then you find there's a group of people who have absolutely nothing. I recall growing up in Zambia, and I've never forgotten this. You know, we had those, they call them broadsheets, those newspapers. And right on the front page, there were two stories. On the left, there was a woman who was arrested because she was trying to steal a baby from the hospital. And right on the right, on the right-hand side, there was a woman they were looking for because she went and aborted a baby, a fetus, in a public toilet. And you say to yourself, wow, I wish that woman could meet the other woman.
Yeah.
And there would be no problem. But this is the reason, because of the curse of God on this earth, we will see that all the time. That is why those of us who have, we must always be generous, ready to share with those who do not have. Because we know we are living in a sin-cursed world. And even right here in the United States of America, the richest nation on earth, you will find people who have no food. You don't have to go to some third world jungle to go and find starving people. You find them right here. That petition, give us this day our daily bread, reminds us it's our responsibility to open our eyes. Give me eyes, Lord, eyes that see the people I am not seeing. We become so preoccupied with our lives and busy, and we forget that they are human beings made in the image of God, and they have no food. And yet, every so often, we throw away food ourselves, isn't it? I hope that your conscience will be pricked every time you throw food to remember there are people out there who could actually benefit from this food I'm throwing away. There would be people who would be thankful to God that you gave them what you're calling bad food. Be happy to receive that food from you. So make it your prayer, like Brandon Heath. You remember that song he sang? Give me eyes to see the people around me who are hurting, who are hungry, who have nothing. Give me eyes to see, because if you leave me alone, I will not see them. Let me see them so that I can minister to them, that your name will be glorified. Jesus will be magnified, and the gospel will be preached. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful that you have not left us on our own.